Welcome to The Grow Show, where we speak with leading business experts to help you grow yourself, grow your business, and grow your community. Now, here's your host, Gary Jones.
So, hey folks, how are you doing? Now, welcome to this episode of The Grow Show. Now, my name is Gary, as you know, and I am joined today by Magic Mac himself. This is Mac Malunga from Magic Mac Media. Now, did I get that right, Mac?
Malunga.
Oh, so close, so close. I'll take that. But he, Mac, is the guy who I go to for my copywriting. So, the copy for Grow Live 2020 and 2021. That's his. Most of the kind of copywriting you see from the podcast courses, that's him as well. So, Mac, it was only kind of time to get you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Oh, Gary, I am absolutely fabulous. You know, being invited onto the show, it's an absolute honour. And I've waited a whole year to come onto the show. I've been doing everything to just get a podcast interview.
I mean, it's been crazy, hasn't it? Because we spoke about doing a podcast. It was probably about 18 months ago, at the start.
I think
in March. That's it. And now you're on. So welcome. So to people who don't know you, what does Mac do? Who is Mac?
What does Mac do? What did Magic Mac do? Well, I'm Magic Mac from Magic Mac Media, and I am a copywriter. But a copywriter who inject three ingredients into your copy, which are energy, excitement, and enthusiasm. Yes, three things. I think of myself more like a, you know, one of those copywriters who thinks who'd like a failed boxing promoter or something like that.
All I know is that you're the person who I send half the page of jumbled notes and bullet points, and then you transform those half a page of jumbled bullet points and stuff into fantastic copy. That's who you are for me. And I wouldn't want to change that at all. You do put energy, you put pizzazz into it. And I've just got a picture now of you in the ring, in a boxing ring, kind of going like that, sparring. It's great. It is. So how did you get into it all? How did you get into copywriting? Has it always been in your blood to be able to do it?
Well, you know, to be honest, if you had told one of my teachers at school that Mac would be a copywriter, they would have probably laughed in your face. Because typical teachers, they'll probably have said, he won't do anything in the business field. He's not loud enough, etc. He's not good enough. But when I went to university, I did business and I studied business communication courses and things like that. And went on to do a master's after that with a little stint in America, studying international business. But after my master's and bachelor's, I went to China and worked in a communication documentary film place and documentary film company. So there I got some copywriting assignment all the time because I was a native English speaker and they wanted to know how to communicate with an audience from Britain and things like that. Mm-hmm. So I think I kind of like all great things like falling in love and all things like that, like you know, Gary, falling in love and things like that, it's always by accident, but it's always little parts that come, or little dots, and they join together, and then it kind of makes a career. And I'm pretty nosy as well.
So how does nosy play a part in it? Is that kind of make you want to research more and get into delve and asking the questions?
I think, you know, being nosy, the most important thing about copywriting is understanding what people do, but most importantly, what they don't do. What they don't do is so important to understand. And also understanding the three reasons in their lives. There's one. I think there's always three reasons. There's The reason they tell you as a practitioner, the reason they tell their friend, and the real reason. As a marketer or copywriter, you've got to understand the real reason and understand they're going to mark, they're going to be wanting to be marketed at the reason that they tell you.
So, interesting.
For instance, gym membership. Everyone said, oh, I want to really get fit this January. Unfortunately, gyms are closed, but no. But people will say, I really want to get fit. And then 6 months later, you won't see them at the gym. I think what people start understanding is they like the idea of getting fit. The idea of looking like they're getting fit by their peers,
mm-hmm.
and looking like they're on that road to the look at me thing.
I suppose it's similar to kind of the 40-hour, 50-hour, 60-hour work week that you see some business people kind of harking on about, that, you know, you need to do the hard grind, you need to work, put in the hours, you need to do 60-hour weeks consistently and you'll get results. When actually, that's not the reality for most people. And actually, some people fall in love with the idea of it, but then actually they don't want to do the hard work to do it off. It's kind of, yeah, I kind of get that.
Yeah, so it's always funny that once you look behind the reason why people do things and understanding why people behave in a certain way, that's when you start getting the real juicy copywriting note that people will want to buy from you, because suddenly you confront their excuses and the reason they're not doing things.
Mm-hmm. So what is the reason? So you say it wasn't one big moment. You kind of got fed copywriting and kind of it started to kind of work out. Was there a kind of a point where you thought, and it must have been a point, because Magic Map Media is it primary copywriting, or do you do other bits at the same time?
It's primarily copywriting. What was the point? Well, the point was 3 years ago, I'm turning three now. I'm not actually three, but I'm turning three. And 4 years ago, I was like thinking, I wanted to set up a business. What kind of business mm-hmm. could I do? What am I good at? And all of a sudden, people kept saying to me, oh, can you do a bit of web content? Can you do some writing for me or something, for my website or something like that? Can you do some writing for social media? You've got a good voice. You've got a good way of telling a story to people so that they buy from me and articulating what I want to, what they want to come across, what things they want to come across. So. It was about three, four years ago that I decided, let's go for it. Why not?
Nice. And you're still here 3 or 4 years later, so it looks like it's going okay.
It is. I mean, to be honest, every day, you know, that you get to do something that you enjoy and you love, it's a day well spent.
Love it. Absolutely love it. On that note, let's talk about the industry itself. So is when you get kind of copy from people, or you look at websites, you look at their blog, and you look at different things that are placed in different places, do you see some common mistakes that people make when it comes to their copywriting?
Yes. One mistake is that they're not focused on who they want to talk to. They want to talk to it. Because we've got a thing about pleasing people. We want to please everyone. We want to cater for everyone. Oh, a bit of this, a bit of that. No, we don't talk to just one person and make them feel. Because you're only talking to customers one at a time. Secondly, people write too much sometimes. So they don't edit. The editing process is kind of the most important thing. And if you want to edit, read it 5 or 6 times and see how much you can. Can I get away with taking out a few of the? Can I get away with taking out a few of the text? A bit of this text. What else? I think not realizing that they need to sell something.
Okay. Yeah. So is that almost being afraid of asking for the sale?
Yeah, it's afraid of taking the customer to the till. So they end up not putting a strong call to action at the end. Call this number. They don't want to seem really bossy. But I suppose with the web, people have lower attention spans. So not lower attention spans, but they've got lots of stuff going on. So
There's loads of distractions everywhere. Yeah.
It's important. You've got this cup, this. Oh my gosh. Somebody told you to book a holiday. You go and book that. Then by the time you know it, that bookkeeping that you wanted to get hold of, or that podcasting course that you wanted to do, or that copywriter that you wanted to speak to, suddenly go far down your list of priorities. So it's important to try and get that call to action in as strong as possible so that they know. And if you're afraid, just think about it. You are solving their problem.
That's it. I suppose, actually, if you're solving a problem, they're interested because they've read all the copy and they're still interested and they want to click somewhere, and you haven't put a call to action at the end of it, well, you just kind of deleted pretty much all the stuff that's gone beforehand by not doing that last little bit, which is actually probably the simplest bit.
Yeah.
I've spent the last couple of days looking at my website and changing a few little bits. And actually, one thing I've seen in the templates that have just been kind of released is the amount of text is very, very low now. And it is mainly pictures with headers and all that kind of stuff. But 9 times out of 10, there's a strong call to action. You know, after every section, find out more, click here, book on now, you know, those kind of things. And as someone who struggled with asking for the sale in previous years and probably still has a slight kind of anticipation about asking it, you know, I get it. I get why someone wouldn't put a strong call to action, but actually it makes it easy for the customer to finish off. It makes it easy for the customer to kind of finalize it, and it makes their customer journey experience easier. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, at its heart of it, as a business owner, you're a leader. So having a strong thread, a strong narrative, and getting that point across, and getting them to the till or getting the call to action in, and, you know, putting it different places, because sometimes there's some customers who say, oh, I've read enough. So you've got to anticipate where a customer will say, I've read enough, I need to call this number. But there's some customers who want a lot more detail. So
yeah. So that leads on to a quick question I've got for you, and that is the ideal length of copy. So if we're looking at different kind of customers and we're looking at their different needs and different attention spans, and I suppose it depends on where they're looking at, say blogs, ebooks, that kind of stuff, but would you say the shorter length is better or longer length? What do you reckon to the length of the actual copy?
So As I said, there's no real ideal length. But when it comes to a proposition that's expensive, that's got a lot more, you know, a lot more they've got to think about, it's not an impulse purchase. You've got to have the corroborating evidence that comes in to make sure that the person can make an informed decision. What about answering the question? So an FAQ section and things like that. So it could be quite lengthy in total, but you are just weighing up an argument. But for things like blogs and things like that, blogs can be quite short. I think, depending whether it's an information blog, but blogs, I think the shorter the better, so that somebody can read it while having a cup of tea.
No, makes sense. And how would you place kind of blogs alongside videos and live stream and podcasts? For me, they're all kind of different ways and different mediums of communicating your message. So none of them is better than or worse than the other one, because it depends on what your customer wants to engage with at that particular time. How do you feel about it being a copywriter?
You know, I love them all. I think they play a big part in giving the audience the message. If somebody wants to have a video, if somebody can gain insight from a video that you've done, give them a video. If they need a blog, give them a blog. If they need a podcast, give them a podcast. But every little bit that you give them, give more of a digital footprint of that you are a credible character. And being a credible character is so important in this digital age, especially in fields like mine, copywriting, or yours, podcasting. It's just so good. And even people in traditional fields like accounting, law, whatever, they probably need to be good at getting their customer different types of information so that they can disseminate their message.
Makes sense. There was one question I had for you, picking up on the point that you made earlier on. You said that your teachers didn't think you'd start your own business because you weren't upfront enough. You wouldn't stand up and kind of you had your voice be counted, I think is what you said. Now, I've been at networking events with you, over the last kind of 12 months online. And you're not now, the impression I get is you're not a shy retiring flower. You're happy to stand up and you're happy to lead and you're happy to kind of talk and that kind of stuff. So I'm wondering, for the people who hate public speaking, hate leading and hate standing up in front of a crowd and being voice heard, what kind of tips have you got from being the person who voice didn't count or that self-esteem there to where you are now?
I think it's so important to, push yourself as much as you can out of your comfort zone and get those presentations. If somebody needs a presentation about something, they're asking you because you're the expert in that thing. So get yourself up on stage and have a go. And most importantly, sometimes it's to be yourself. Sometimes we are so afraid. The reason we become nervous is that we ominously try and be somebody we're not. We try and be that. Oh, well. I got told once, you have to be more professional. Now, Gary, being professional, what does professional mean? You get paid. That's it. No, you deliver, you invoice, you get paid. What? Any of those three in those three ordered. Other than that, you can be whatever you want.
Exactly. And do you know what? We had Callum Nicholson on a previous episode, and he's a great example of, and I think just like yourself, great example of just being yourself, being you. And no one can be Magic Mac. No one can be you because you are...
I think my mum would have a nightmare, to be honest, if she had two Magic Macs going around the town.
Watch out, town. That would be, I would watch that TV series for that. Talk about TV series. You did a stint in China with video production. Yeah, did you ever think about going into that side of it more?
It's funny that it interests me. Documentary films, they interest me. And I've always thought, doing a documentary film would be so good. But one day, I'll never say never. I'll probably do. I've always loved to document stories and understand stories and understand people, and I love watching documentaries. So, if I would, if you've got Sky, watch NHK World documentary, a Japanese national channel. Watch NHK World documentary and document 24. What is it? 72 hours. That's another one you should watch, because that is just the amount of insight that they can get from just going into places like, let's say somebody went into Tesco, the amount of stories that are in Tesco or somewhere like that.
Love it. And do you, before we kind of finish off the interview, because this has been fantastic, do you read much, or is it a bit of a busman's holiday when you read books and that kind of thing?
You know, to be honest, I love reading. Reading is
okay.
The best thing about reading is that you get somebody, like, say if you read somebody who's successful, you get their knowledge for $9.99, which is a bargain. I don't know why you wouldn't. You wouldn't get a, if you don't, if you can't read the pages, get an audio book. If you can't do that, get something else. But listen to a podcast or something, because you are just missing out on all that kind of. There are so many insights that come from reading books and things. So I love it.
Love it. So before we go on to your one big thing, what would be the one book that you would recommend anybody reading?
One big book that I'd recommend. We Are All Weird by Seth Godin.
Nice.
Easy book for you to read. It's very thin, but it gives you the message that be weird.
Love it. And was that the one based on his dad? I'm sure that was his. Is that the one based on his dad and his experiences as a kid?
I could be wrong.
Don't worry, but I'll check it out. I will check it out. I love that idea. Love that. So we've come to the end of kind of the interview, really. But there's two things I just want to quickly ask you, because I ask everyone this. And before we go onto your website and your social media links and all that kind of stuff, Mac, what would be the one thing, the one big thing that you want people to take away from this interview? What's your big, one big takeaway?
What is my big takeaway? Enjoy life, be crazy.
Love it. And do you know what? I can see you doing it every day. I can see that. That's brilliant. So if people want to check you out on social media, follow, check out your website and kind of keep in touch with you. And I would recommend everybody to keep in touch with this guy. He's fantastic. How can they? Where would they find you online?
Okay. Instagram. Oh, no. My website, www.magicmacmedia.co.uk. And my Instagram is TheRealMagicMac.
Job done. Well, Mac, thank you so much for joining us today. Please, everyone, check Mac out. I say he's my go-to guy for copy, and I would recommend him as the day is long. So, Mac, thank you so much for coming along to the show.
The pleasure is mine, Gary. The pleasure is mine. Thank you very much for inviting me here.
So thanks, everyone, for watching. Take care, everyone, and I'll see you next time for the next episode of The Grow Show. Take care.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. With new shows available every week, if you know anyone else who could benefit from these powerful insights, please share this podcast with them. And don't forget to subscribe.